This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. This is Straight Fire for Thursday, October 28th. And what a podcast we have today for you. A super duper special guest, big time former Heisman Trophy winner, college football legend. So the capital L. Got drafted in the NFL. He now is on TV at Fox. Matt Leinart lives near me. Good dude. We talk about USC a lot and college football. There's a lot on the table. And for the hashtag dad life folks out there, he has a young superstar athlete. And we talk a little bit about how parents in the current environment are handling their kids. It's pretty cool. I think you guys will like it, even if you're not a big college football fan. Matt Leinart, very smart individual. I think you'll really, really enjoy it. But first, briefly before we get to Leinart, and also there will be a best bet at the end of the podcast on Packers Cardinals. What was going to be a phenomenal Thursday night football game. I mean, this was circled on the calendar for weeks, and now no Devontae Adams. And we just got word J.J. Watt, season-ending surgery. What the hell? I mean, J.J. Watt's been so unlucky with injuries the last few years. It still should be a good one. I definitely have some money on this game, more than a usual Thursday night play. Let's just say that. And I know you guys want to hear from Leinart. I just want to do a quick, brief, very brief moment on the Lakers meltdown in OKC. And I'm sure some of you are like, Jay, you're talking way too much about the Lakers. I just want to say, we've seen the October numbers. They're up year over year. Remember, the podcast just started last August. Guys, thank you very much for subscribe, rating, and reviewing, especially all the LA people. And you guys want Laker content. That's very evident. And guess what? They're going to provide a lot of it because right now the Lakers stink. They were up 26 points without LeBron against the winless OKC Thunder. The Lakers proceed to play zero defense in the second half, and they get their doors blown off. The Lakers lose in OKC to not quite the G League Thunder, but they're bad outside of SGA. Darius Bazley hit, I think, as many three-pointers in the game as Russell Westbrook has hit all season. And this was not a good Westbrook game. He ended up getting ejected at the end because he was upset that, and I think it was Bazley, stole an inbounds pass with like 5 seconds left and dunked and then hung on the rim for effect. Dude, you're at home. You're celebrating. Sure, you can hang on the rim and come on. Russ, what on earth are you arguing? You were just frustrated. This was your return to OKC and you stunk up the joint. Russ did have a triple double, which everyone will herald. Oh, he got a triple double with the Lakers. Team high minus 12, 10 turnovers. And just for everybody who loves Russell Westbrook, everybody who loves this guy, he is now on the season 4-for-23 on three pointers. He can't shoot free throws either. He's below 50%. And this is a guy that the Lakers were expecting to come in when LeBron and AD are out and carry them to some wins like he did with the Wizards last year. Russ playing out of his mind. Well, I mean, again, there's a lot of new parts with the Lakers. I'm not jumping off the bridge. I did put out some joking Instagram stories about an image of LeBron at the game on his phone. And I joked that he was texting the Kings GM to see, hey, can we get Buddy Hield for Russell Westbrook? Obviously you're joking, but it's funny. But at this point, right, I mean, Russ is struggling. And, you know, clearly it's very early. There is no need to panic. But you blow a 26-point lead to the winless Thunder. And that's like, what are you doing? James Worthy of the former Laker great, unloaded on the Lakers after the game. And listen, they're 2-3. They have Cleveland and Houston up next in the next three games. They'll be fine. They get revenge, a four-game homestand against OKC. They will clean up their act in the next four games. No doubt about that. Now, if they lose like two of these, I think we got some problems because LeBron should be back. But again, it's just the Lakers are going to provide content for this podcast. Thank you, LA. All right, without further ado, let's get to the man, the myth, the legend, Matt Leinart.
You know a guy.
Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows another guy.
Let's welcome into Straight Fire a true legend in college football. I mean, listen, I know he's going to hate that I'm talking about him like he's a legend, but I mean, I just went through
making
all the numbers.
Old, man.
Come on, dude. This guy is a true USC Trojan. He played in the NFL. I work with him at Fox. I've tried to get him to play pickup basketball with me. Matt Leinart. Matt, how are you, man?
I'm good. First of all, I'd love to play hoops with you. It's just the time of day and the day of the week you do it. It's just it's hard, man. Yes. I got two babies at home, so I'm I'm getting pulled in 19 different directions right now. But yeah. Once the season's over, man, I'll try and get back, get on the hardwood and play some ball. I miss playing basketball.
Yeah, the big noon kickoff. Obviously, you're traveling a lot for the show. You got a good one this weekend, huh?
Yeah, Michigan State. I mean, a rivalry. I mean, two teams that hate each other, which is awesome. look, in the landscape of college football, as you know, there's, you know, the Big Ten East is crazy right now. And this is kind of this weekend with Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, you're kind of weed some of these teams out as far as the playoff is concerned. But this is a big one. Both teams really haven't been tested to this point. I think it's safe to say, so this one, a lot of implications, and the fact that it's a rivalry game makes it bigger, man. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun out there.
Big Ten's crazy. I was actually trying to look at gambling on Iowa, Wisconsin. Have you seen the total for that game?
So is it 36?
36, wow. Matt Leinart, getting ready for a gambling sponsorship, huh?
I'm trying, man. I'm trying to be like you. You know, that has to be the lowest number this season, right?
I haven't seen anything lower. That's crazy. And I might take the under. I don't know. I mean, you've seen a lot of these teams, dude. Come on, these guys are bad.
I know they're both really bad offensively, and both are incredible defenses. I don't know though. That's
super low.
You score if they each score a touchdown early, like it's over.
You're done,
you know, so like it's. But yeah, I saw that number. I was like, wow, that's crazy.
I know everybody wants to talk USC with you. I will just point this out. After the Iowa loss, all of a sudden, Wisconsin's like back in the mix to get to the Big Ten title game. That's how crazy, and they've been terrible. I mean, Matt, they're almost unwatchable.
The West is nuts because no one saw. I'll say this: I wouldn't have said Purdue was going to beat Iowa, but Iowa was just kind of like we just felt like at some point this offense is going to have to do something to win a game, and that was the game. And obviously, they couldn't get the job done. But Minnesota is in the driver's seat, which is crazy. They're playing really good football, especially after their first game against Ohio State. You know, Ibrahim goes down, their best running back, a stud, goes down, and you're thinking, gosh, this is going to be a tough year. Well, they've done a really good job. PJ Flex done a great job with that team. Wisconsin is in the mix. Obviously, Iowa is still in the mix. So, listen, at the end of the day, it's going to be whoever comes out probably playing Ohio State. And to me, Ohio State's the best team in the Big Ten at this point. But a lot of these, you know, the next coming weeks will tell for sure who kind of comes out of those divisions.
So the landscape of college football is a little wacky, but I do want to quickly talk about a quarterback before we get to USC. The situation with Spencer Rattler in Oklahoma. Okay. It's funny. I was reading about your history, Matt. And at one point, you know, you were going to win the starting job at USC, but there was a kid, John David Booty, who was coming in and he was going to be awesome. Well, you could talk about that in a sec, but can you put yourself in the head of Spencer Rattler, who got all this name, image, likeness, money,
right,
talked about as the first pick maybe in the draft, Heisman favorite. Now there's talking like, is he going to transfer? Like, I've never seen anything like this. I don't think.
It's strange. And you know, it's even before John David Booty. So I talked about this on the show last week. I was really close. I don't remember how close, but transferring came, you know, popped in my mind when Carson Palmer came back. So this was before JDB was there, when Carson came back for his senior year, because a lot of people don't know this. I was almost going to play my true freshman year and burn my red shirt at that time because Carson was struggling. Pete's first year, I was kind of the recruit that came in. They wanted to give me a chance. And thank God I didn't go in and burn my red shirt year. So when he came back, I was battling with Matt Castle and a couple other guys. The thought of transferring it entered my mind, and my family were talking about it. But no one really transferred as often back then. And I'm glad, obviously, I stayed and it all worked out. And then I'm putting myself in Spencer's shoes and just the kids these days. I probably would have transferred if that was fast forward to now because of the portal and just because it's so easy to go now to another school and try and play. It's really interesting because you talked about it. Preseason Heisman favorite. He balled last year. I mean, he's still very talented. I'm going to put that out there. But Caleb Williams and just what he brings to that offense is a lot of what we've seen from Oklahoma in the last couple of years. And the bar was set so high. So when Spencer Rattler wasn't playing great, but it wasn't all his fault. It just was different than what we've seen and what really Oklahoma fans and college football had seen. Caleb comes in and balls out, and clearly their offense is way more explosive, way more dynamic. His running ability, everything kind of what we saw with Kyler and Jalen Hurts is what Caleb Williams brings to that offense. It's interesting because it's an awkward, I think, place to be in. You're making money on NIL. You had all of these, you know, accolades and awards coming into the season. It's just not working your way. I think it's going to be very important for Spencer Rattler to, one, not kind of, you know, pout. And I don't know the situation at all, but not pout, be a good teammate, because at some point, like, you're probably going to be asked to come in and play and win a game. And if Caleb Williams goes down, by the way, you're going in and your team is still undefeated in the mix for a playoff. So there's a lot at stake there. So it's really hard to do that as a quarterback, especially when you get benched. I was benched in the NFL by with Kurt Warner came in, and it was hard for me not to go in the tank. So that's something that Lincoln Riley and Spencer Rattler, they're just going to have to do a good job of just staying focused and staying in the game. But as far as transferring, I think there's no question he's going to be gone. I mean, it's the smart decision, and he's got a chance to, I don't even want to say resurrect himself, but he's got a chance to go somewhere else and prove why he still has an opportunity to get drafted very high. He still has elite arm talent. He's a good player. And maybe he goes to a system or a fit that's just kind of more conducive to his skill set. You know, he's not running. He's not a runner. You know, that's just not what he is. And that's kind of what Oklahoma likes to use with their quarterback. So, but yeah, it's a really interesting situation where we haven't seen a guy with all of these accolades get benched, and all of a sudden he's making I don't know how much money, he's making a lot of money in the NIL, and now he's probably not going to be at that school in the next couple months.
It's weird, you know, the way you framed it. You know, Matt, we all face these like tests in life and how you handle it, and imagine if you had burned your red shirt. I'm sure you wanted to as a young kid, right? Get in there.
I'll never forget. It was at Arizona. My family was going to drive out and go to the game because it was going to be my first playing time. I'm glad it didn't happen. You know, clearly everything works out. The paths work out. And look, we talk about the transfer portal and it's had great stories and it's had not so great stories. And you look at Joe Burrow, obviously one of the
best. A good one.
Best examples of that. Justin Fields is a great example. Every Oklahoma quarterback is a great example, right? I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah.
And not just quarterbacks, but other skill players and other positions. But you also look at Mac Jones and what he did. He stayed and he was a first round draft pick, and now he's having a great rookie year and he won a national championship. So look, Spencer Rattler, it's a little different scenario. There's a true freshman that just took over. He's going to be there for a couple of years. He's the guy for that job, in my opinion. So Spencer has a decision to make, but it's really important for him to stay focused, keep his head up, and be a good teammate and be ready to ball, because we all know guys go down and he's right there back in the mix as a starting quarterback.
It's weird. I want to ask, like, who did you talk to about that with your situation back in the day? Like, I'm sure part of you wanted to go in. I mean, in my own circumstance, like, I was on a TV show here at FS1 for a couple of years, and all of a sudden this guy wants to shove me off the show. And I could have easily melted down and been like, this is garbage. And I just was like, you know what? Maybe this is the best thing. And Matt, it turned out to be incredible. I don't have to put up with that headache anymore. But like, how was you as a teenager? Because again, you know, Rattler's what, 19, maybe 20 years old?
Yeah, it was, you know, I don't remember. I think it was just I think it was Pete Carroll. I think it was Norm Chow was the OC. And I remember him talking to me and saying, you know, I think, you know, we want to give you an opportunity to play this week. And I'm almost positive Pete, they just decided not to do it. Or maybe there was a time in the game where it didn't work, because I was prepared. I took first team reps, I think, that week.
Wow.
And really the only people I told my parents, and at the time, you know, it felt like the right thing to do is getting a chance to play. So, clearly, I mean, Carson was so talented. It was Pete's first year. So it was obviously the rebuilding only took a year, because the next year he won the Heisman and won the Orange Bowl. But Carson was so talented. It just, we were, new offense, new coaches, new scheme, all of those things. So I'm so glad it didn't happen. Clearly, I mean, like my career might've went a different path and maybe I never played at USC, but you know, those things happen for a reason. So Rattler and just other guys, I mean, you got to kind of make the best decision for yourself. But, I think for him at this point, I think it is going somewhere else because he understands the quarterback situation there at Oklahoma.
So you said you stayed at USC 37-2. Things kind of worked out.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, now you brought up Pete Carroll. So, Matt, you know how the industry works, right? Everybody wants to come up with an angle, a take. If you're right, great. If you're wrong, who cares? Move on. So, you know, this week I heard all the Carson Palmer talking about Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin? Come on.
He was stirring the pot, I think.
I know.
I haven't talked to Carson, but that came out of left field.
And Mike Tomlin shot it down pretty damn hard.
Those were great sound bites. I mean, that was awesome.
Amazing. I'm sitting here and I'm watching Seattle. I'm like, what is Pete Carroll doing? Like, he's 70. This team's going nowhere. They're dead. Russell Wilson wants out.
Right.
Why wouldn't Pete Carroll think about going back to USC? And before you laugh, hold on, Matt.
No, I'm not laughing.
Okay. All right. So Nick Saban is in his 70s at Alabama. He knows his old school style of defense and run the ball. That don't work. That's not getting the big time recruits. So he brings in these great offensive minds, the best offensive coaches. They use it as a springboard to next head coaching jobs. Why can't Pete Carroll try to do something like that at USC? Would it not make sense to try to resurrect what he had? Because, Matt, I looked it up. When he was at USC, 7 straight top 5 finishes. 7. They would have been in the playoff every year if there was a playoff.
It's a good question. I think, and I'm speaking on my – this is just my opinion. One, he's older. I mean, I know Saban's 70, but look, I think Saban's got a good 2, 3, 4 years left, and he's probably rides off into the sunset. I mean, at some point, you're in your mid-70s.
That's what we keep saying about Tom Brady, you know, he's 44.
Well, listen, Tom Brady's a whole different animal. And the same with Pete, you know, I think it's safe to say, you know, time's kind of running out in Seattle for Pete and just that organization and what they've done. And Pete was wonderful there. It is much different now coaching in college football than it was back in 15 years ago or to 2000s when he was there. And I just can't imagine Pete coming back to USC and having to deal with everything that you have to deal with now. And just regards of NIL and just the way there's a lot more in the transfer portal. And there's a lot more that a head coach has to do than just before. You kind of recruit, or you have your recruiters go out and you run a school and then you have control. You really don't have a lot of control in college football anymore as a head coach. And especially, this is just the tip of the iceberg with the NIL. I mean, this thing is going to continue to grow and all of those things. And with the players having more of a voice now, which I think is great. It's just a lot more to deal with as a head coach. I think it's a really interesting time to be a head coach in college football. So I just can't imagine a 73, 74-year-old Pete Carroll coming back to USC and trying to, you know, like what, he's going to come back for 2 years. And then, like, I just don't see that. I see him. I know something about Pete. I know he's, you know, wanted to be a professor at USC. I think that's something that could be in the future for him. And I know he does a lot with USC and as far as their entrepreneurial school and all that. I know some guys over there. So that's maybe a path, but I don't see it, man. I really don't. I think he's too old for that. I don't think he wants to deal with all of the stuff that you have to deal with now in college football.
So why don't we fast forward to what the hell they should do? Because it seems like it's like a tug of war. Everybody has their guy they want to put in.
Right.
I'm sure you know the booster situation there is kind of sort of crazy. They have the academic scandal with the getting kids in under false pretenses. There's a lot happening. And, you know, I looked at the recruiting classes, Matt. I didn't realize it was this stark. I'm assuming they were recruiting against Clay Helton. But the last 2 years, USC 0 5-star kids, no top 15 classes. But if you go back to 2018, they had 5 5-star kids, including, you know, JT Daniels now at Georgia, and then a guy who's a wide receiver, St. Brown, in the NFL. But, you know, they got to kind of pick up recruiting at this point. Like, it's got to be a big name, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is the top players in California, in particular Southern California, have all left. And yeah. the one thing that Pete did and was, we're going to own our backyard. And again, this is, you know, this is 15 years ago. So, I mean, it wasn't like it's 50 years ago. You have to own your backyard, because I would argue, I mean, you have modern day St. John Bosco, Servite, which, by the way, is at modern day Servite the other night. That was as high level a high school game I've seen. You have three of the top 10 teams in the country and other great, you know, other really good schools around Los Angeles. You have maybe the best kind of recruiting pot of kids within 50 miles of your school. You know, Texas, obviously, there's some other great recruiting areas, South Florida, but you have some of the best there is, and there are tons of big time talent. And all of those kids would go to USC. It wasn't even a question. You own that, and then you go out and you poach kids from here and there, Florida, Texas, whatever. I remember Urban Meyer had this conversation with me. He's like, when I was at Florida, we didn't touch LA because Pete had that. We did not even go out there, and we had great players coming out of the state. Now, when Pete left and you know, Clay Helton had the tenure, and they're going through a lot of stuff, Sark and Kiffin, all those guys, people now just come in and are just raiding Southern California. Because USC failed to protect their backyard. And that's where it all starts. I mean, you look at Bryce Young, DJU at Clemson. You look at, you know, you mentioned JT Daniels. He's gone now. Obviously, injuries and things happen in circumstances. But all of the top players are leaving because they want to compete for championships, and they want to get developed and play in the NFL, period. Mm. And USC's not doing that. So that is a big kind of check mark and to-do list for the next coach is, hey, like, whoever it is, we have to go back and recruit and own Southern California, because you build your roster around that. There's a lot of great players. And it's not just quarterbacks, man. It's not just receivers and quarterbacks. There's great linemen. There's great linebackers. You know, Oregon is getting all these guys too. And so the recruiting angle is huge. And that's huge for any top program. You get those kids. Look, NIL, LA, Hollywood, you know, the entertainment aspect, it's not the end all be all for USC, but it's a major advantage for SC. Huge. In the NIL if they do it right, you know. So it's a big time job, so we'll see. I mean,
James Franklin be the guy to build a fence around this area? I mean, he's, you know, I hate the whole is he a regional fit, like that's a college basketball thing, but this is a guy who spent a lot of his career in the Northeast, in Pennsylvania. It's not like he's got a rich history of putting quarterbacks or skill position guys in the NFL. There have been a couple, and obviously they get great players. But what are your thoughts on Franklin? And I'm not trying to pin you down. I mean, it's really early in the process.
I think there's a lot of options. Clearly, his name has been right up there at the top of the list at USC. And in regards to James, I know him personally, love him. I think he's a great guy. He's a really good football coach. People can talk about, well, he hasn't won a championship. Well, listen, you know, in USC, you're not dealing with Ohio State every year, and Ohio State's, it's just tough. It's tough to win that division. And he's won a Big Ten championship a handful of years ago, and then they ended up losing to Sam Darnold and SC in the Rose Bowl game. But, James got a good personality. He's a good recruiter. I think they might've just lost somebody this week, but they have a top five class next year. But the whole regional thing, like, yeah, there's some coaches out there, and there's, when you say, wow, that just doesn't make sense from a region standpoint or from a personality standpoint. But listen, if you're a good coach, you understand what it takes to win. I don't really care personally as a Trojan. I just want the best guy for the job that can go out there. He can get the players that we need to rebuild this program. But the thing with James is, you know, look, that they lost a really tough one last week against Illinois. Yeah. And then the schedule, you know, you go to Ohio State this week, you still have Michigan State. All of a sudden, you know, if they lose three or four games, you know, the luster is gone, so to speak. It doesn't take away from him. It just, as far as from the fan base and what USC wants. So it's an interesting one, but I love James Franklin. He's a really good coach. He's a really, really good guy. I think he's an obviously good fit for USC, but again, there's, you know, this is going to be a process. You know, I speak to, you know, people at USC in regards to this, and this will be a thorough, process that's going to take a lot of time, you know, and I know people want to see who it's going to be, but they got to get this one right. You know, this one's important.
You know, we saw UCLA hoops. They brought in Mick Cronin. He was at Cincinnati, and all I heard out here was, oh, that's a terrible fit. I mean, Mick Cronin, he's like this blue-collar guy. He's not going to work in L.A. You know, Final Four, they're absolutely loaded this year. So the whole regional thing, I'm with you. I toss it out the window. I want to ask a dad life question. You've got a young kid who's a potential big-time athlete, and we have a lot of dads who listen to the pod because I'm now a dad who coaches my kids. you know, I went back and looked at the recruiting services when you were coming out of high school. You were the fourth pro-style quarterback behind guys who you may or may not remember. Brody Croyle, remember him? Alabama?
Brody Croyle, like Derek Anderson.
Derek Anderson, and then Joe Mauer, who was a catcher. Could have gone to FSU. But I just wonder about these rankings. And we're seeing them earlier and earlier, Matt, you know, sixth grade, seventh grade. Like, I just, does this hurt more than it helps? Because I know it's going to open doors for some kids, but I've seen personally kids. You know, my son's age and older who are like, oh man, did you see, I'm like the eighth best kid in the scoring and all this stuff. Like that, they're not going to work as hard, Matt. Am I talking out of pocket here?
No, it's a great point. It scares me for sure. And it makes me nervous. I think it's a necessary evil. As you said, it's helped a lot of kids. It creates exposure for yourself. It's the way kids are being recruited now in a sense through social media and, them posting, which I hate. I don't like it, but you have to adapt. You have to kind of understand. It's just like, it's like good coaching. Like you have old school coaches who are still in the early 2000s or 90s. It's not going to work when you're coaching these kids now, like in 2021. So you have to be able to adapt and adjust to the times. But to your point about just, and my son in particular, you know, he's 15 and I do worry because when you start, you know, you start to go on Twitter and social media and you see these sites, you know, recruiting you and, hey, dad, am I, you know, do you think I can get off? Cause you see kids getting offered scholarships like at 12 and Lane Kiffin did that years ago, but now it's becoming a regular thing. Yeah. It really does fear me that they lose, you know, they lose sight of what the goal is and they lose sight of what it actually takes to become great and to fulfill your dream and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, when you start reading that stuff at a young age and you start, you know, listening to all that stuff, you just become entitled. And even a lot of these kids, I've been around a lot of high school kids. They care more about, you know, their recruiting visit, putting on their uniform and how they look and then what Instagram posts than going out there and just saying like, you know, going out, maybe getting an extra film session. And, you know, I'm just talking here, but like, it is a concern. It's high school coaches' concern. It's college coaches' concern. Part of the reason why I said I don't know if Pete Carroll would want to deal with that.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, it's a worry. And I think all you can do as a dad is just, and a sports dad, and you're involved and all that, like just continue to have them, you know, to try and just keep their eye on the prize. And with my son, Cole, I tell him all the time, I said, listen, like you have as much talent as anyone and that I've seen at your age and what you want to do and what you want to become. But the distractions are what's going to deter you from being the best you can be. And distractions are Snapchat, are hey dad, I'd rather go to the beach, and hey, I'd rather do this, and that's just in his life, that's just what it is. And and especially you and I, you know, we live in the South Bay and you live in Manhattan Beach and you got a great life and a great lifestyle. It's very easy to get complacent here, and that's why I've always told him like there's thousands of kids that are just as good as you that, you know, are working maybe harder than you. And what are you going to do to elevate your game? Because it's not just like, hey dad, I'm going to be 6'5". I'm good. You know, I want to go here. Like it doesn't work that way. So it's a great question. It's really hard. But all you can do is just provide them. My whole thing is like, I'm going to do everything I can in my power to try and make him successful. And whether that's driving him an hour to workouts or whether that's trying to get training for him, and I know not everyone can do that, or it's spending time with him here in the backyard doing footwork stuff, like I'm going to do everything I can to put him in a position to be successful, and then it'll be up to him to go out there and push himself even more. So it's a challenging time. It is raising, you know, athletic kids and kids who want to play sports, because it's There's so many distractions.
Father of the year, Matt Leinart. Also former USC quarterback. All right, Matt, hey, thanks a lot for taking the time, and we'll watch you on Big Noon Kickoff. You'll be all over the place, obviously, throughout the fall.
Awesome, Jason. Thanks for having me, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
Just tremendous stuff from the legend, Matt Leinart. Matt Leinart kind of lives near me. I work with him. Super nice guy when you meet him. You know, he's this big 6'5 dude walking around. And you look at him and you're instantly reminded, oh, that's right. This guy was a superstar in college football. Like, top 10 pick in the, I think he was 10 or 11 in the NFL draft. And my favorite Leinart story. So Notre Dame is playing USC. It's the Bush-Push game. And my girlfriend at the time and I, who now became my wife, we were celebrating like our 1 year anniversary. And we went out to this swanky restaurant in Brooklyn. And this was back way before iPhones and incredible phones with all that stuff. I was taking the girlfriend out for our 1 year anniversary. And the game was, I was recording it on TiVo, but of course this game's going over and I didn't set the TiVo to record, you know, the extra hour it took. So I'm watching as much as I can before we leave. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this game's incredible. How USC's losing. I can't believe they've won like 30 games in a row or whatever. And it was just an awesome game. And we're at the restaurant and, you know, it's a 1 year anniversary. You don't want to be like, there's no TVs in this nice restaurant. I think it was, I don't want to guess the name, but it was a really nice place in Brooklyn on the waterfront. And I went to the bathroom twice. And at the time, there wasn't a ton of like websites where you could just check the score. This was like a flip phone. And I had to go to like some college football message board and keep hitting refresh to see the comments. And the game was taking so long, I didn't know who, I couldn't just keep going to the bathroom. So I had to just suck it up and be like, you know what? This is life. You're not gonna be able to see every football score. It's a 1 year anniversary. It's a girl you wanna marry. You gotta, listen, make some sacrifices. So, you know, we get home. Of course, I find out on TiVo that the damn thing didn't record and I have to watch the highlights. And now you get a little crestfallen that you missed the unbelievable 4th-and-9 conversion from Leinart, the bomb to down the sideline. I think it was Jarrett. And it was just one of those moments where I told Leinart this, and he's cracking up. He's like, do you know how many people have great stories from that night that always tell me stuff? And I'm like, oh, man, I was just that guy. At any rate, good stuff from Matt Leinart. Let's quickly go to the best bet for Thursday Night Football. It was supposed to be the game of the year. Packers at the Cardinals, undefeated Arizona, one loss Green Bay. The line was supposed to be 3. Was going to open 3.5, and then the Devontae News hits, and then the Alan Lazard, obviously much lesser. And it's like, nobody, this game all of a sudden doesn't have juice. It's like, can Aaron Rodgers win this game by himself? So I tried to talk to my son about it. I'm like, bro, we got a fantasy quagmire here. Do we start Aaron Rodgers without his top two receivers? Or do we go to the bench? Do we consider, and you guys are going to scoff at this, do we consider Carson Wentz against Tennessee in a game where the total is astronomically high? There's the Tennessee defense we know stinks. I don't want to hear, well, they held Pat Mahomes to 3 points. I don't want to hear it. And Carson Wentz is at home. These games between these two are historically high scoring. What, is there a scenario where Aaron Rodgers can do nothing without Adams? It's check down Charlie. They decide to run a million times. And he gets like 10 fantasy points. Do we go to Carson Wentz? And so I had to have that discussion with my son. Listen, the last time I told him, you've got to start your stars. Adam Thielen was his star, but he had not delivered for several weeks in a row. He forced us to bench Thielen. Thielen ended up with like 3 touchdowns. Or he had a huge game. And that was like our lesson, you don't bench stars. So this is me now trying to bench a star. But, you know, this fantasy stuff, I got to say, play it with your kids. It's fun. At any rate, you guys know I bet Arizona early in the week. If you're looking for a prop, I would look strong. I do believe that Arizona could blow them out. We've seen Aaron Rodgers kind of go into a shell. I mean, it's unlikely he is a primetime performer. I think there was a memorable playoff game in Arizona where he had like 51 points in a classic. I can see Arizona going all out, getting to like a 3 or 4 touchdown lead, and then going heavy on the ground. So I am looking at any James Conner props that I can find. James Conner, by the way, is running like a beast for Arizona. He is having an incredible season. I'm personally stunned at how good this running game has been for Arizona. Sometimes it's like, do you go with Conner? You know, because they kind of have the split backfield. They dumped Kenyon Drake, who's now in Vegas. And it's like, who do you like? Do you like, is Conner the guy? You know, what about Chase Edmonds? If you look at the carries, James Conner has 20 more carries. Now, he's got fewer yards, but he's the workhorse. Now, look in the red zone. That's the big difference here. Chase Edmonds, 0 rushing touchdowns. James Conner, 6. If you're looking at props, I would look at James Conner. Remember, this is a bad Packers run defense. They can be had on the ground. Washington doesn't have the ammo to do it. I would, for guys I'm targeting, James Conner for sure. And I think this is maybe 34-13, something along those lines. But I have this feeling Arizona waxes them and puts out a statement that, hey, you know, we're for real. And 6.5 is a little steep. Again, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers here. But on the road, down Devontae Adams, you know, it's 3rd and 7. We know Devontae Adams is bailing him out. Who's the guy tonight? Is it really MVS who's coming off the IR? Robert Tonyan? Is it Randall Cobb? I may start Randall Cobb in fantasy. So I like Arizona tonight. I can't make a case at all for the Packers. But enjoy the game. We'll talk to you tomorrow.